Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you online Bible school with Grace Institute, and we are sharing this with our other discipleship group. At the completion of this lesson, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. So we want to welcome you to our Friday morning edition as we open up continuously and speaking along the line of recognizing the Holy Spirit. So we talked to you last week about releasing the Holy Spirit, and it is right, you know, you have to release him in order to experience the power of God that is at work in your life. Good morning, Brother George. But in order to release him, you have to be able to recognize the Holy Spirit. So when we say recognize him, we're talking about maybe his voice. Where he's actually, he's actually using, it is your own voice inwardly that you hear. That he takes and begin to do what? To induce you or energize you hearing the word of God. You hear the word of God with your inner voice. You know, for an example, if you never really heard yourself speak, you know, take some type of recorder. You can, you know, we all have these little phones. Take your little device and you know, I think you have what we call but it has a speaker, a thing that you can record your voice and play back and hear yourself speak. When you hear your, if you're not accustomed of hearing yourself speak, you'll hurry up and shut that down because you'll say, oh boy, that sounds so bad, or I can't believe I speak like that or I sound like that. Well, that's your inner voice. Your inner voice is a little different than what you, how you hear yourself outwardly speaking. Well, the Holy Spirit will take your inner voice, and as you speak the word, you meditate on the word, or you hear the word, you will hear yourself saying. That's why when you say, I hear this voice. Well, you could, just as well as the Holy Spirit is using your inner voice to speak to you, the devil can take your inner voice too and speak to you. It is based on what you meditate on, based on how you think. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not coming forth out of your spirit, because Proverbs 23:7 said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We're talking about the soulish part of you. I cannot emphasize how powerful the soul is to the body. It is to connect it both to the body and the spirit. But the spirit is the anchor to the soul. So without having the power of the Holy Spirit through our born-again spirit that has been radically changed, then the soul would not have a new way of thinking. It would think only in the light of the fallen identity of whose we were. And this is the reason why we keep getting the same result, or we lose hope. The reason we lose hope for something to change is because the soul has already put it in, has already ingrained inside of you, well, it's not going to happen. It's not going to change. It's going to always be that way. It's too late. If you went too far, it's going to always give a reason why it can't be reconciled, redeemed, and etc. Well, this is why we say recognizing the Holy Spirit, when you study the Word of God in a certain aspect of life, whatever it is that you're looking for redemption or looking for restoration or looking for more understanding of something, then that's what you do. The soul has to have a new light. A new light would mean a new way of thinking, a new way of expecting. Because if you leave it in the same likeness, and think on it from the perspective of the condition that you and I was conceived in through this condemned world, you will not be able, you'll not be able to walk in the fullness of what God's word says, whether it be about healing, whether it be about deliverance, whether it be about marriage, whether it be about relationship, whether it be about money. Why? Because you already have an identity set in how you think of all of those things. Now, you may not really want to live like that, but because of being incarcerated, you know, in your mind where you can't move, you know, it's like a person that's behind bars. You know, they may want to do something, they may want to go somewhere, but they can't go because why? They incarcerated physically. Now, their mind could be where they want to go, but their body won't let them go, physically speaking, because they're incarcerated. Well, mentally, our minds is incarcerated in what we, how we live life out, and the body can't go because the mind itself is incorporated, even though you are free in body. But because you have incarcerated yourself through the soulless part of you, through your mind, your will, and your emotion, it will hold you as a hostage within. So why is it so important to recognize the Holy Spirit? Because it's going to go against the truth of religion that we were raised up in, traditions that we were raised up in, conditions we live by, circumstances that has put us in places of thinking that this is it, and etc. The Holy Spirit will go against all of those things if you are willing to allow him to show you a better way. If you will allow him to give light and show you what is already so in your born-again spirit, you could actually live this out. See, it does no good, as I spoke about Wednesday, the boy that was, you know, talking about Prince Albert in the can. He said, then why won't you let him out? Well, it's the same thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit, is shut up. But you know, the life of the Spirit of God, the life-giving of God's Spirit is inside of you. But guess what? Unless you let him out, the fullness of what God has provided for us through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, until you allow him out, let him out, then the soul will never, or the body will never be able to experience that divine change. Because when it comes to making a shift in your life, it hurts. Because there's a certain amount of discipline you have to apply. That's why the soul, we talk about the soul, we're speaking about you learning to renew your mind in that area. You know, you can't renew your mind in every area of your walk at one time. You know, the word is able to bring the fullness, but we ourselves are captive in different areas of our lives, and sometimes it takes a while, a moment before shackles are broken off, a stronghold are broken off of our mind. Why? Because we the one that have to conceive these truths. And in order for you and I to be free in every area of our walk, I have to be accountable once chains or shackles are broken off, once bad ideas, you know, bad way of thinking. Once I see the light, once I have understanding according to the word of God, now I am responsible to hold myself steady, that what used to irritate me, what used to have me walking in being divisive, or what I have to now be responsible to keep that away from me. By doing what? By walking in that new truth, by releasing the new identity of Christ that's in my spirit, now it's functioning through my soul. Now every part of my body, outward, outer man, is experiencing the glorious light of this truth. And I know this may sound simple, But at the same time, the gospel is meant to be simple. But when you begin to start acting on these principles that I was speaking of about recognizing the Holy Spirit, when you recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, the ways of the Holy Spirit, because just think about your spouse or someone close that you know, a friend, a parent, a relative, a sibling. You recognize their voice. I mean, you could be no matter where you are. I mean, I remember one time I was running with a young man. We were jogging in Girard Park a few years back. And, you know, he was running with me because, he just needed some, it was more of discipling him at that moment. So the discipleship took place with us, running together, jogging by speaking the word, ministering the word, getting the understanding. It's amazing how discipleship can take place in so many ways of doing. Exercise was a way that, because we both love to run. And so it was like it wasn't so much about the speed, it was about enjoying that fellowship. But while we were jogging, my daughter that lived here then wanted to join me in running. And I told her where I would be in the time, and she pulled up. But we was on one side of the track running, and she hollered out. Now I saw her, but I didn't reckon, I wasn't paying attention, I was listening to him. But then when she called out, "Daddy," I stopped. That voice automatically, I recognized that voice. Why? Because I raised it. I know that voice. And I was talking to this young man in the same likeness of what I'm speaking to you. It's strange how these things can work together. And he said, "Man, when you," I said, "That's my daughter." He said, "Man, when you heard that voice, you stopped." I said, "Well, that's how God is. This is what I'm trying to get you to see. That's how God is through his word. When you speak his word, he's listening." And she caught up with us, and she ran with us or whatnot until we finished or whatnot. But my point is to show you, you will know, just like you know a sibling voice or you know your spouse voice, maybe you have a real close friend, associate, even an employer. Our employee, you know their voice because you spend time with it. Well, I'm using all of these things that we can understand from a natural position. It works the same way in the realm of the spirit. You just don't see God, but you can hear God through the Holy Spirit of his word or the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God is what's going to let you know whether it is God or the Lord Jesus that's speaking to you, that is guiding you in these truths. When you know the word, the Holy Spirit is going to take that which is Jesus, and he's going to show them unto you. Well, I know we're using John 14, but go here to John chapter 16 and look at verse 13 for a moment. John 16 and, let's just back up a little bit here. And let's just go to verse 7, John 16, 7. It says here, Jesus is speaking. He said, "However, I am telling you," and I'm reading this out of the Classic Amplified Version, "however, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away." Man, he's talking to the disciples. The disciples, all they recognize is his presence with them. They're not trying to spiritualize it. They're not trying to memorize the things he said, keep in remembrance of especially at this moment here, starting in chapter 14, you could probably go to chapter 14 and speaking about the type of death that he is to die. His ministry became more private from John, from the Gospel of John, maybe chapter 13 on through chapter 18. And he was explaining to them, preparing them. He himself spent more time with them in preparing them for the death that he would die. But it did not really register unto them. Because, see, they looked at the physicality of Jesus being with them. You know how it is? As long as I got the person with me that knows how to do it, I don't have to do it. I don't have to look at it. I got the person with me. So as long as that person with you, notice this, you depend on them. You lean on their faith. You lean on their belief. You lean on their doing. And that's okay for a while, but then what happened when that person not there and you have to do it by yourself? Or you have to do it according to how you were trained? Well, the disciples didn't learn anything when Jesus was physically with them. They did not really take heed the words that Jesus spoke, the healing, even what they did. It did not really minister to them until he was resurrected the third day. And not only through the resurrection, they had to see him. They were dull in their understanding. Even up to that point, when they saw the nail print in his hand, his side being pierced, then they recognized, and then two of the disciples that was on the road of Emmaus, they was conversating with one another. And then Jesus just appeared with them and asked them, what these things y'all speaking of? And they asked him, are you the only stranger here in Jerusalem and not knowing what took place in these days, the days that gone? So it had been already 3 days because he's with them. And Jesus began to explain to them the scripture. He heard them, and then he began. When he broke bread with them, he began to open the scripture about himself. But their understanding about Jesus, whom they knew before his resurrection, evidently he did not look the same. Because their understanding of him was withheld. What I'm trying to show you is that when you recognize, this is what they recognized. This is when the eyes of their understanding was enlightened. And you can look at Luke chapter 24. Just read that whole chapter, but you can start somewhere around verse 14 and just go to the end of the chapter of Luke 24. And you'll see that as he spoke with them, the eyes of their understanding of knowing him was, they didn't recognize. See, they only recognized him from the physical, from the things he did, how he did them. And then when they got to a place where they asked Jesus to come in and sit with them, and he took the bread and broke it, blessed and gave thanks, then their understanding was enlightened because they knew just by what he did. See, but their eyes were held, and even in the natural, they couldn't understand. How could you be the only stranger that not know what happened in these last days? And my point is that we are people just like they are in this day. And I'm trying to get you to see that we have a better relationship, a better fellowship of understanding the power of the Holy Spirit than what they did, because they only knew him in the flesh. We know him by the word. We know him by the spirit, because his spirit lives inside of us. Well, they thought, you would think, because, man, if I walk with Jesus like that, No, they didn't retain nothing. They did not retain any revelation, any understanding until Jesus had appeared to them after that resurrection. Then the eyes of their understanding was open. They saw him with their own physical eyes. And now he had, and he when he led them out in the book of Luke, in Luke 24, he led them out as far as Bethany, I think it was. And the Bible said he was lifted up by the glory of God from the face of them. But he told them, now don't you leave this place in Jerusalem where they were until you receive or be endued with the power from on high. Why? Because it's going to be the only way that you're going to be able now to know me. You're going to have to know me. Now, they weren't born again when they were walking with Jesus. They only got born again after Jesus opened the eyes of their understanding. They were standing out there on that shore. Then they were born again. And then he told them, now you go and wait for this power. This is why it's so important that we pray in other tongues. This is why it's so important that we allow the fullness of the Spirit of God to enter into us. Why? Because when you have the fullness of the Holy Ghost in you, your spirit knows all things. Your head doesn't know all things. You can't use your feelings. You can't use your intellect. You can't use anything that's natural to say this is God. Because if you do use that, and if it turned out that it was the right stance, and yet you try to duplicate it again, and every you're going to find out yourself doing this, and I'm saying, well, I thought that was God, and I did this, and it turned out right. It may have been God at that moment, at that time. But because you didn't have understanding about what took place, you could do the right thing and get a wise man result and not knowing how you actually obtained it. See, it don't make you wise, according to Matthew 7. I don't know the exact verse right now, but it talked about how Jesus talked about a wise man building his house up on a rock. In other words, you know, up on a revelation, up on understanding. So when the winds of life comes along, you know, your house would not be bothered by the wind or the storms of life. And Jesus was just equating that to what a wise man does. So you could do a wise man, make a wise man decision, but it doesn't make you wise. And that's why sometimes we in the body of Christ receive some goodness of God, but we don't know how it happened. And then that's why the next time we try to duplicate it or try to follow that trail in doing it, and you find yourself like this, and it's like, man, I am so far. I thought this was God. I thought this is the way I knew God worked. I thought this is the way God was leading me. Why? Because you got your feelings involved. You got your emotions involved. Your emotions are, man, look, they are meant to harness when it comes to spirituality. Let me say that to you again. Your emotions are meant for you to put them in a harness. Why? When it comes to spiritual conditions, spiritual situation, why? Because God is not emotional. God is spirit. Just like you, God is ministering to your spirit. Through your spirit, it is up to you and I to harness our emotion, which, you know, our senses, which come through our emotion, our feeling that come through our emotion. That's part of your soul. You have to harness the way you, the thoughts, the things you are listening to. Because if you're listening to, just because you're listening to something that may say, well, that may, you know, that sound like God or whatever. Man, you have to be able, I cannot tell you that you can, how sacred it is that when you come to a place and having a little understanding about spiritual truth, the enemy is going to turn up the eye on the range, you know what I mean? Or the eye up on the stove. In other words, he's going to turn the heat up a little bit higher because you got more revelation, more understanding. So I need to afflict you with something or bring something in your path to do what? To kind of cool you off, calm you down. You're going to have to understand, you're not going to walk in truth and the enemy not try to assault you in some way to get you out of the way. And if we don't understand that, that's why we take a second word. That's why we always, it's kind of like the young man from Bethany in 2 Kings 13. I don't have time to go there, but, I can, and I'm going to close with this. The Holy Spirit is leading me to go there. 2 Kings 13, notice this. This was a young man. He was a young prophet. And the only way I could, he was a young prophet. And God had given him his instruction in the way that he should go and in the way he should not return. You see, sometimes when we cry out to God as believers, spiritual believers, and wanting God to do something, the moment he does it, open a door, sometimes it could become stale. It could become like it don't have no more life. It's not that the word doesn't have no more life. We walked away from the thing that got us where we were, where we are. And this young prophet, just to share, he lost his life. Not because God was made. Now, this is an old covenant experience, but it is still true to us today in the life that we live. If we don't listen to the voice of the Spirit, if you don't stay put where God is talking to you. Notice this. And I'm not going to read the whole story. This is where it says in the 13th chapter of 2 Kings. And let's see. It says, verse 4, it says, now Jezebel, and I don't know, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, he besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him, and he saw the oppressor of Israel because the king of Syria oppressed them. And the Lord gave Israel a savior so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrian, and the children of Israel dwelt in the tent before time. Nevertheless, they departed not from the sin of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel sin, but walked therein. And these remain the groves also in Samaria. Wait a minute. Let's see. Wait a minute. I think I'm in the right. Wait a minute. I might be in the. No, I'm in the wrong. Hold up. I'm in the wrong. I didn't think that read right. Y'all, hold on for a minute. I had to open myself up to this, and now I have to fulfill this. I think I'm right. I'm looking in the wrong place here. Let's see here. Maybe help me find that scripture about the young prophet and the old prophet. Yeah, help me to find that scripture about the young prophet. The Lord had told this young prophet which way he should go and for him not to return in the same way. But he did not pay attention to the word that the Lord had spoken to him, and he ended up following the old prophet, because his son came and told him that there was a young prophet in town, and he went on and followed that young prophet. I mean, went to that young prophet himself.
13,
It's chapter 11?
13.
Okay.
11 through 25.
Okay, yeah, I'm in the right. Here it is. Yeah, she sure is. Notice this. I'm in the right place. I'm looking in the wrong place. Here it is in verse 13, chapter 13, and let's just look at verse 10. It says, "And in the 37th year of Joash, the king of Judah, it begun Joash, and the son of Jehoahaz had reigned over Israel in Samaria and reigned 16 years. And he did eat, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." Now that's another thing to remember. Always, you know, when the Lord give you a word or put you in position and you do evil against him. This is one of the scriptures I try to use to keep myself, always consecrate myself. He say, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he departed not from all the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat." Verse 12. And notice this. Well, let's just jump down here to verse 14. "And Elisha was fallen from sick, and the sickness whereof that's not it. Oh. Well, anyway, let me just tell y'all the story. And that when this young prophet went in and he followed the old prophet to his house, the instruction was he should eat no bread, drink no water in the way that he could go. So what the Lord was saying to him is that I want you to go this way. When you go this way, I don't want you to return. My purpose of saying this as I close with it, and I apologize, I don't really have that scripture here, and I spoke of it for many times, but it was the point that whereas when God instructs you or when the Holy Spirit is leading you and he brought you out of a way, and when something come along, somebody in the body of Christ, let's use it this way, somebody in the body of Christ that's been around for a while and they come and they speak a word in your ear or they speak something to you about a direction. And you already have the direction of the Lord. You already know what God, you may not know per se, but you have that witness. And in that time where we become weary in the body of Christ, we become weary in our stand, we become weary in our place, in our positioning, and we look for something new. And what happened was the Lord had spoke to that young prophet and told him which way for him to go and how he was not to return in the same manner. And so this young prophet, the old prophet's son heard what God had spoke to that young prophet. And so the son of the old prophet went and told his dad that this young prophet, the Lord had told, he had healed this man that had a withered hand or something. And the Lord told him what to do. And so as he was obeying God, then the old prophet came along and told him, "I'm a prophet of God also." This is where I've learned this years ago, where we can get in trouble, because someone said, "I'm a prophet also." And so it'll make look like what God has spoke to you is irrelevant right now, because here it is, this prophet right here is speaking from God. And God will never lead you to do what? To take someone's word against the word he has spoken to you. God is not always changing his mind like the weather. We do, because of what we see, because sometimes what we hear, what we experience. And my point is this. As you begin to obey him and look to him and begin to trust him in the word that he spoke, then you'll be able to recognize that, hey, no, this is not the way of the Lord. I remember God spoke this to me several years ago. I'm just speaking, using an example. You'll know that. And when you hear that, you'll say, no, no, God hadn't changed his mind about where I'm supposed to be. And so when you understand that, then guess what? Then all of a sudden, you'll come to that place, and every time something tried to come along, change your mindset about what God has put in you, what God is doing in you, then, hey, you'll say, no, 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 this is not, I appreciate it, but I'm going to stay put. See, that's what I mean by being responsible for the word that God spoke into your life. See, once you hear the word and once you get set free, one thing open up for you, well, you're going to have to understand it's not going to just stay that way for you, because the enemy is going to come with all kind of trickery. And the reason why he's going to come with every type of trickery there is because why? You have discovered a truth or understanding how these truths work. And if you stay put and walk in these truths, then guess what? You're going to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. See, it's one thing to gain a revelation, but then it's another thing to maintain and walk in it. And this is the reason why that old prophet came along and told him, and you know, and again, like I said, I apologize. I'm going to have to find that, because what happened when that old prophet had lied, notice what he told him. He said, I lied, because God wasn't with him. God didn't tell him that. And that old prophet told him, a lion will be in the road to meet you, to eat you up. In other words, his death came about through his own disobedience. And my point to you in this is that we can learn a lesson from that young prophet in the body of Christ. See, now, they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. It was upon them. See, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, recognizing him, that we can release the glory of God all the time. These men only had the Spirit of God come upon them in a certain time. But they were not able to walk as a son to experience the glorious light of God at all times, is what I'm trying to get you to see. And so my point here is that when you know God is directing you and put you somewhere, don't let another voice come in and take you out, or someone with a new idea or a better way to take you out, because you don't know everything. You only rely upon that which is within, and you stay connected to that. You know what it's like? It's kind of like a child when they get 16, 17 years of age, they don't like how things is running at the house, and they think they could do things better than their parents. And so therefore, what we do, we try to find a way to run away, or we can't wait till we get out the house and make our own decision. And then later on in life, we find out mama was right. Man, I need to go back, or I need to redo this. Well, it's the same thing in the spirit. So I just want to save you from a lot of heartaches, headaches about trying to make decisions that the enemy would love for you and I to make on our own. And why? Because, again, if we get caught up there by ourselves, we're going to be caught in a disgrace. And so I know that really don't, I don't know how much that really helped you, because I really wanted to show you that verse of scripture here in the Word of God. And I repent for that, because I've spoken this thing many times, and yet at the same time, I just found it. It's not in 1 Kings. It's in 1 Kings 13. It's in 1 Kings. So go back and read that from verse 4 on through, I think, verse 14 or whatnot. Let me just give you the synopsis of this, because you did stay with me. And notice this, it said in verse 7, the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou would give me half of thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread or drink water in this place. Why? Because as you go up further, you know, God told him, gave that young prophet his instruction. And then verse 9, he said, for it was charged to me, this is a young prophet, the word of the Lord saying, eat no bread, drink no water, nor turn again by the same way which you have came. So my point to you is that when you know, when God brought you out of something, now it's your responsibility. Don't go back into that. Don't get back in that circle. Don't get back in that involvement, because why? It's going to catch you. And you become like a whirlwind. And then notice it. So he went another way and returned not by the way, the same of Bethel. And now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his son came and told him all the words of the works of the man of God that had done in the day of Bethel, and the word which he had spoken unto the king, and that he told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his son had said, this way the man of God went, and he came from Judah. Verse 13. And he said unto his son, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him the ass. And notice this, he rode after. Verse 14, and he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that come from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said unto him, come now, come home and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee, neither will I eat bread or drink water with thee in this place. So far, he sounds like he's walking with God. He's obeying God. But watch this. The enemy will put pressure on you through your feeling, through your emotion. And notice this. He said, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord. Uh-oh. You see the second word? It was said to me by the word of the Lord, he's still speaking. You should not eat bread or drink any water, nor again turn by this way. And look at verse 18. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also. And that's when you got to get to the place. Whoopity-doo-doo if you are. Because if you're speaking anything different than what the Lord has already spoken to me, no way, Jose, no way. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And the angel spake unto me. And that's the same thing that Paul said. I don't care. In Galatians 1:6 and 1:3 and 1:6 of Galatians, Paul said, I don't care if it's an angel from heaven come and say and speak of any other gospel, let him be accursed. See, you have to recognize, you got to know on the inside that this is what God said, and this is, I don't care what it looked like. I don't care how I feel. I'm not moving. I'm not moving. That's when spiritual maturity, that's doing the meat of the word. See, a lot of Christians hear the milk, and we're all supposed to. The milk of the word is hearing the word, is feeding on the word. The meat of the word is when you do the word. And that's where the disconnect comes from. That's doing, when it's time to do what you hear, that's where the disconnect. Either you're going to stay steady or you will disconnect. And notice this. And he said, I'm a prophet too. The angel of the Lord spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee. And notice this, to the house, but that he may eat bread and drink water. But notice this, but he lied unto him. Why would you think the Lord put that in the Bible? It's the same thing today, saints. And that's why I, as a teacher, say I have no agenda of doing any of this or saying any of this, but as a teacher of the word of God, it's to teach the body of Christ to make quality decisions, understanding who you are and whose you are. And don't be moved by a lot of things that's moving or whatever. Stay connected. And notice this. And he went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass that as he sat at the table, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and has not kept his commandment, which the Lord God commanded thee, but thou camest back and hast eaten bread and drank water in this place, of which the Lord has said to thee not to eat bread and drink water. He said, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy father. And it came to pass that as he had eaten, after he had drunk, he saddled his ass, and he to wit, and notice it, and the prophet whom he had brought him back, and when he was gone, a lion met him in the way and slew him. Was it God doing that? No. It was his disobedience. Are you following what I'm saying? I hate to end like this, but you know, I've been gone a long time, and I needed to stay on because I knew there was scripture, but I'm thinking it was in 2 Kings 13, but it's 1 Kings 13. And go back and look at that and study that out and put yourself, use yourself at where you are, whether it be a job situation, whether it be a church situation, whether it be maybe you living in a certain place. And you just irritable, you ready to move, or you ready to do. No, use this and see where God placed you. It's just like, you know, where we live right now, my wife and I, where we live, anytime the enemy may put something, or I may get stirred, I want to move in a new house, I want to do this, I want to do that. And it's all of a sudden, it's like, no. I remember the Lord brought us here. The Lord specifically put us in this house that I'm speaking up right here. See what the enemy do? He will try to make things in your life, that you get tired, that you get weary, and you need something different. When I recognize that, you pray in the spirit and say, no, I remind myself of God's goodness. I remind myself where I was and how God spoke. And then guess what? That fire just whoosh. It's a false fire. See, that young prophet had to say, he could have done the same thing by saying, no, I know what the Lord spoke to me. But you see the story right here. The prophet said, I lied. And then he cried unto that young prophet because he did not keep the word of the Lord. That's sad to say, but there are some people out here who will do that. And I just don't want that to happen to you. I don't know why I was saying all that, but it's recognizing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's the point of the lesson. So I love you. I stayed longer than I should have stayed. I'm almost 48 minutes, but I love you. I pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you. And if God moves in your heart to want to sow into the Favor Church, you can do it by cash out here. Everything that you sow, it is going to the betterment of the property where we are, all the things that we have to take care of, leases, utilities, fiber, taxes, and everything else. And so you are helping us to maintain what God has put in our trust. And so my part is to teach you the word of God. And if the word has blessed you, ministered to you, strengthened you in any way, then we will really be honored to receive the seed that you give, and we'll see to it that it goes to helping us to do the ministry that God has called us to keep it going, to keep it afloat, and we appreciate it. And so as you communicate unto us your spirit or your physical thing, we communicate it to you, our spiritual thing. That's Galatians 6:6. And as you do that, then with your generosity, God will never forget. Amen. So until the next time, may God best and his favor be with you. We love you now. We'll do it again Monday, God willing. Have a great weekend. Love you. Have a great day, everyone. This lesson also will be uploaded on Grace Institute Online Bible School, so you can go to your podcast and put this lesson in there, and you can listen to it again. And again, I apologize for stumbling over my words. It's that most of the time I know where those scriptures are. This time I just didn't know. I just thought it was in chapter 13 of 2 Kings, but it was 1 Kings 13. So, hey, Have a great day. Bye-bye, everyone.